Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. As you know, and this is really going to be the theme of the morning, we, seven of us from SSBC, got to spend some short weekend in Shreveport. It's part of the Bill Glass Prison Ministry. And I got to have a great time. It's a lot of fun to go off with some guys, especially you don't get to, brothers, Sunday mornings, but to really spend some time and travel. And Dick was very kind. He let me drive all the way. And actually, I requested that. Speaking of Dick, it's funny. You get to know people in ways you didn't previously know. I did not know that Dick cannot stand to eat chicken. Kyle's laughing. And we found this out Friday night as we went into this beautiful church just to get prepared for the events, have some time of worship and training, and some ladies just prepared this wonderful, like, sort of chicken gumbo and jambalaya. See, I'm not familiar with Louisiana cuisine. And Dick ate, what did you eat, like rice and cookie? I was like, what are you doing? And he, oh, I can't stand chicken. I grew up on a farm and that's all we ate. And I can understand that, and I personally love it. And it was, to my surprise, Saturday at the event for the folks who were volunteering, they cooked a wonderful fried chicken lunch for all of us. And we were looking for chicken legs for Dick, but they were all gone. So he had, what did you have, corn and a muffin or something. It was, we had a good time. We had a great time. Huh? At your expense. And I wish Morris was in here too, because that guy's got a sense of humor that I didn't know existed in such a way, and it was a good time. Luke chapter 15. Before we get there, I want to sort of read some stats over the weekend that we got to experience with Bill Glass Ministries. There were 191 teammates, as volunteers, men and women, that went into the Caddo Correctional Facility to witness to the inmates, 72 first-timers, freshmen, and three of us are in this room today, had never been. It was me, Kevin, and Kyle. And as a group, we witnessed to 3,777 inmates, which is an average of about 20 inmates per volunteer. And I don't know, they want us to keep track of how many people we actually were in front of. I don't know exactly how many guys I personally sat down and talked to in groups. I think it's somewhere around 30. There are guys in and out, and not everybody signed my sheet. Of that 3,777, there were over 1,100 decisions for Christ. Now, a lot of those were rededications, okay? But of those 1,100, 433 men and women gave their lives to Christ for the very first time, hearing the gospel message, and gave their life to Christ. And I had the blessing of the 30 or so gentlemen that I sat down and talked to throughout most of yesterday. Three guys in my group gave their life to Christ for the first time, and that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. Proverbs 11:30, before we get to our main scripture reading, says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." I love that. Luke 15, read with me, verses 1 through 7. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven for one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." There will be rejoicing in heaven for that one that repents, that one sinner that needs to repent. Now, let me tell you about this experience this weekend going in. I'm going to be perfectly transparent this morning. I really didn't prepare a sermon. So I'm sorry in advance. I just knew we're going to have a time of testimony this morning. I got up, prayed about it, opened some scripture, kind of jotted some things down. And I feel like I just want this Holy Spirit to lead the service and the time this morning. So we're going to have a few of us come up and share. So if it's a little bit rougher than normal, I want to apologize up front. But I didn't know what to expect going in. So Friday night, we had the time of worship and training, and they sort of split you up into three groups. We had three groups of 10 that were going to Caddo, and so two of the groups were going into the pods. This is where all the cells are. It's a big sort of open facility, and it's two-tiered, so there's cells lining three-quarters, basically, of the walls on two stories. Big open area in the middle and a guard shack when you walk in. Now, our group was picked to go to the trustee area. So it's like one big room with bunks, I guess. And these are guys that are on the work release, getting out. Now, they need Jesus and the gospel message too. But if something was on my heart, I didn't want to go to the trustees. I wanted to go to the pods, where the guys that were potentially, some of them were serving longer sentences, going to be there a while. I just felt that that's where I needed to go. And Kevin sort of, that was on his heart. So we asked one of the leaders, listen, can we go into one of the pods? And so the next morning they found us. We brought us in and had breakfast. And they pulled Kevin and I aside. So, all right, you guys want to go into the pods? Like, yeah. All right, so you're going to go with group. I went with group B, and I don't know what group Kevin went with. But so we go in, and it's time to go in. And the officers were and the staff were wonderful. They're so glad we were there, and the hospitality was fantastic. And we go down, and at first they're like, all right, group B. And I'm like, all right, I'll go in group B. And I was the only one at first. So I'm like, Kevin, come here. And, don't leave me. And then two elderly gentlemen came out for group B. And I'm like, all right, Kevin, I got this. You go. So I'm going to go with these guys, the gentlemen that I had not ever met. So we're walking down the hall, and we get to pod B. And me and these two older gentlemen, and we go in, and we walk in. We're just sort of let in, the three of us, and there are maybe 50 inmates sitting there just waiting on us. And a little bit, okay, here we are, I'm ready. And so, but I didn't quite know exactly what to do. I had my track, and I knew it was, wanted to engage. And so I was kind of following the lead of the two gentlemen with me had been there before and part of the ministry. And so I'm just kind of just... We walk up sort of timidly, and the one guy just jumps right into it. God bless him. And just immediately comes up to a group of guys, and he's like, listen, my name's Rocky, and I was addicted to methamphetamines for 52 years. And just jumped right into it. Yeah, and I was like, okay, here we go. So I saw a group of about seven guys on the back row, and I had my pocket full of tracks, and I walk over to them, and I'm like, guys, my name's Mike Townsend. I was addicted to Whataburger for about 30 years, and I didn't say that. I did not say that. But I tried to engage and break the ice, and they were, I should have said that. Hey, the chains are gone. I haven't had Whataburger in several months. And praise Jesus. So I began to engage with these men, and we go through the track, and we were told ahead of time you might only have maybe 20 minutes. It's fast-paced from what I understand. This was a little bit different setup, and it wasn't sort of business as usual for Bill Glass. And I had like an hour with this first group before they have platform speakers come in. And so I'm sitting with these seven or eight guys, and we go through the track and, kind of go through scripture and prayer. And then I just started engaging with them. And they all told me they previously made decisions for Christ and had different backgrounds. And you obviously don't ask them what... why are you in here? None of that. Just engage with them as men, as human beings, which is what I did. And then it was so just comfortable and relaxing. And so we had time to just do like a little Bible study with them. I just put that track aside and just ask them, what are some of your favorite scriptures? I very much like I would do with the youth when I was the youth minister. I would just try to engage them and try to, just get them talking. And one of the guys said, Psalm 41. I love Psalm 41. I said, all right, what'd you like? And I'm pulling up turn into Psalm 41. It's like there's, and I don't have it memorized, but it speaks of helping others, and feeding them. You're at my table and I fed you, and then you turned on me. He's like, that really speaks to me. I was like, why does that speak to you? What about that verse? And this is a man named Heath, and just covered in tattoos and on his face and his neck, and he just had a look. He was a lot younger than me, I could tell, but he just looked tired. He just had this tired look to him. So what, Heath, what about that scripture speaks to you? And he said, well, because there's people I know, one guy in particular, that, man, I had this guy set up. He was making money. He didn't tell me how they were making money. I let my imagination run a little bit wild. We were making money, and I fed him, and he sat at my table. And then one day he turned on me, and he shot me. That's a true story. And I'm like, man. And I think my own life, even this past week, some experiences I've had personally where people just maybe say something ugly about me. Somebody that I've been there for. But here I am talking to a man in Shreveport, Louisiana, who had some friend of his actually turn on him and put a bullet in him. And that really sort of gave me a perspective that maybe I didn't have before. And I love being in there. And the platform speaker came in, and there was a couple of them. This first guy was a kickboxer. Let me tell you what, he was meaner looking than the inmates. Like, I was fine with the inmates. I didn't make eye contact with this guy, And he loved Jesus. So he came in and gave his story. And I'm just sitting out there like you guys. The chairs were set up very much like this. The speaker was up front. And I remember just as the speaker's talking, I'm just sitting with guys all around me. I felt like I was just at maybe a church service. And these were my brothers in Christ. And the only difference between me and them was they were wearing orange jumpsuits. And that's how I felt, perfectly comfortable and at ease. And then after that, the platform speaker had the three of us who were working that room through Bill Glass stand up. And he said, listen, you may have heard this already, but these men have volunteered their time, and they want to speak with you. And I'd already kind of gone through the track with a few of those guys. He said, but just find one of these guys and just circle around them. So I had maybe, 15 guys, 12 to 15 guys around me. Maybe one or two from that first group of guys, all new guys, and just went through it again and started engaging. We prayed for Jesus to come in their lives. And three of them told me afterwards, and I'm going to give you their names, first names. Tony, DeMarcus, and Charlie all gave their lives to Christ for the first time. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. And I was so involved and engaged with them, and so comfortable that when 11 o'clock came, we'd been in there for 2 hours, and it was time for us to go eat lunch. I couldn't believe how fast the time had gone. And I wanted just to stay and have these conversations with them. Now, we read in Luke 15, if we can come back to this, in verse 1, where it says, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And I felt that way. These men, and some of them told me, and one gentleman in particular that I really connected with. And I talked to Dick about this a little bit, and I would like to actually, because I have his prison ID number and his name, to actually send him a letter. Because I really felt like, his name was Kevin, KG is what they call him, an older African-American gentleman, maybe late 40s. And if you're older than that, I'm sorry, I just said older. But he loved the Lord. And I don't know what he did, but when you just connect with somebody and you have that, I just immediately, we were just engaged together. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But, these weren't, and he told me, he's like, I felt drawn to you. He said, I went to the other two groups, and there's something about you. I just felt drawn to you. And it says right here in verse 1 that these sinners, these tax collectors, were drawing near to Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and scribes grumbled. And they said, well, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, I wish we could have eaten with the prisoners. I really do. I would have loved to just spend more time than we're able to with them. But they were drawn to him. Now, why were these Pharisees and scribes, why were they bothered that Jesus was associated with these people, with these sinners? Because they had a concept of obviously the law, and these gentlemen that we spent time with yesterday had broken some laws. I've broken laws in my life. And I told them, listen, there's not a whole lot of difference at all between me and you. There's not. Other than you're in here wearing this orange jumpsuit. We're the same. In fact, we're brothers in Christ. And but why? Because they had this sense of cleanness, of being clean. And you just listen, there's a certain people you can't talk to. Now, I'm pretty sure And I loved it. Can we actually, I'm probably throwing a curveball, Jerry. That last song they sang, that first verse, can you just put the words up? Because I was thinking of this scripture in my time yesterday when we sang that first verse. You know, we're called in Matthew 28 to go, okay? Not just to go to the nice neighborhoods. Not just to go to the people we like hanging out with. You know, we're called to go to the ghettos, to the prisons, to the hospitals, to everywhere, to all nations. That maybe is not right. Okay. What's the next one? Oh, yeah, whatever that. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just confusing here. I told you I didn't have anything. I wasn't totally prepared. But listen, Jesus didn't care, okay? He didn't care, you know, to wash and cleanse himself, clean himself with the Pharisees. He didn't care what he ate and put in his mouth. He physically went and literally touched and prayed for those that had leprosy. He hung out with the sinners. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to go. And I tell you what, I was blessed by it. Blessed beyond belief. I told some of y'all that they could have literally pulled a cot in there for me, and I could have stayed the night and hung out and had dinner and breakfast and just continued to fellowship with these men. Now, that's just part of my story. I'd like to take some time this minute and the two of the other gentlemen that went with us first-timers to talk. So, Kevin, would you come up first and just go about 30 minutes? And that's an inside joke.
That's the inside joke.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
35.
35
minutes.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to do this. I've never heard of this class. Never heard of it at all. Something I've always been interested in, going to the prison and talking, doing this. I guess when I spoke to Dick Webb about it, when he presented it to me, it just, that's the push that I needed to go ahead and do it. When I went there, I seen my friends, seen myself. Told Mike before we went to bed that night, that Friday night, I wasn't the one that was going to jail, in and out of jail or whatnot, but I was the one that was getting in trouble. I just always thought I was the lucky one that got caught. So I told Mike, I guess I was too stupid to realize that my grandmother was the one praying or whatnot, you know. But I ran with it. I went in there. Actually, well, that Friday night, like Mike said, they told us we was going to the trustees, the work release or whatnot. And it was like if you just stuck his hand and let all air out of me. I was crushed. I was hurt. I told Mike, that's not what I come here for. I want to go to the pods. If I'm a goat, I want to go to the belly of the beast. I want to go to where it's at. So we got the opportunity to go, and Mike and I thought we was going to go together. Mike came back and got me and said, Kevin, you can go with me, let's go. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go, yeah. And we got in the hallway, and that got changed around, and I had to turn around, and Mike left. I was like, all right, man. So Mike left, and I got assigned to go to D-Pod, D.S. and David. And they needed three guys in that pod. And I said, okay, I'll be one of the ones that'll stay. So after everything got settled in, somehow it got mixed up and they pulled me out of that pod. And I was crushed again. Because I went in that pod and as soon as I walked in, I asked the guards, is it okay if I go up and start greeting everybody? They said, yeah. So I went around shaking everybody's hand, introducing myself. And another guy, I shook his hand, he called me sir. Said, nah, stop right there, man. My name is Kevin. I got on mic about that. But I was there to make friends. I wasn't better than nobody. We was equal. We all the same. So we mingled. I sat down. It was over with. They said, okay, Kevin, come on. Let's go with us. They pulled me out of that pod. I was crushed again. So then I get in the E-pod, ES and Echo. Like, okay, it's three guys now. Finally, they let me settle in. I stay there. So I meet everybody all over again. And that's how wonderful how God works, because I missed this in the midst of getting shuffled around. They asked for the volunteers to stand up. I stood up. Everything was over. They told these guys to huddle around. I had 17 guys around me in my first group. All these guys had their Bibles. They were sharp. I told my wife last night, these guys are sharp. You quote a verse, they can finish it. They sharp. They know the Bible. Matter of fact, one of the guys that was in my group, he was a pastor. And he told me his church wasn't too far from the prison where we was at. He pastored there from 89 to 95. And he said he was doing good. He was doing good in the ministry. He was prospering. His downfall was with it. They knew this. The problem that they had with it was applying it to their life. That was their problem. They knew the Bible front to back. The problem was when they get in that situation, they didn't know how to simply ask God to give them the strength that they need to get them out of that. They'll put this to the side and move on and do whatever it was they wanted to do. We sat around, same God as the pastor, asked me, so, you think this God could put this together and have us all here at this time? I'm like, duh. Yeah, man. I didn't know nothing about this. It's Saturday. I don't even work on Saturdays. And I was like, and I'm here in the prison sitting around here with you guys. Not only that, I don't even know what time it is, man. Yeah, this is God that got us here doing this. We went through the track. Unfortunately, all these guys were saved. They all were saved. The way I was able to win it over with them was illustrations. Sin. They put the Bible down. They went off, sold drugs, smoked drugs, ran around with different women. Disregarded. Told them, I said, man, sin is like this. I pulled my pants leg up. I pulled my socks up. I said, the only difference is your socks and keep going. Comes up to your waist, comes up to your arm, comes up over your arm, over your head. Before you know what you're bathing in, you're rolling around in it, you're sleeping in it. It's like a hog in a pen. Until you do this, I got down on my knees in the middle of a circle, and I prayed out to God. It's that simple. We all have access to it. If we confess with our mouth, it's there. Told God, before you even say it or tell anything, God knows what it is that you really want. He knows your heart. It's there. It's simple, man. It's like the keys that you have to your car. You put the key in the hole, you open the door. You go home, you put the key in the door, you turn the knob, you pull your key out. You have access to the kingdom just like that. I did the Kingdom Man study with Mike and a couple guys. Wonderful book. I told them to read. We all have a role to play in the kingdom. We all have a role. Their question was, man, but life is so hard. It's not hard. It's hard because your heart hasn't lined up to God's word. And when you do, God will give you all the desires of your heart. I quoted John 10:10, I think it is. He said, like the thief coming tonight, but I've come so you can have life and have it more abundantly. This is not what God wanted for us. He didn't want us to be sitting here in a circle around in the prison. He didn't want us to be addicted to drugs, living in sin, stuck in bondage, running around with different women doing things. This is not what he wanted. He wanted us to wake up and enjoy life and be able to go out and smell the roses. The guy says, so you telling me, man, I can do whatever and then give my life over to Christ and then I die, I go to heaven? Yeah. But hopefully you don't wait that long. Get a chance to know him. He got some wonderful things for you. But yeah, if that's what you're concerned about, you will go. But I encourage you, man, do it before then. Do it before then. Get a chance to know him. Get a chance to know God. Say, God knows everything about us, man. Our lifespan was written from the end to the beginning. Say, me personally, I grew up. Mike, can you come here for a moment? Can you stand right here? Good boy. No, you don't count. I'm not going to pour no water on you like you did, sir. I won't do that. I won't do that. I promise I won't. So we sit there, I had a guy next to me, and I said, man, our life is written from the end to the beginning. God knows everything about us. I said, me, for instance, I grew up without my dad around. God knew that. There's some issues we're going to run into. I know you're going to have a stumble. You're going to fall. Keep going, buddy. You're going to mess around and get with this lady. It's not going to work out. Keep going, buddy. They're going to walk out on your life. Keep going, buddy. Your dad wasn't there for you. Keep going, buddy. I'm the father to the fatherless, and I'm a mother to the motherless. I'm there for you. Keep going. This is here. It's here. Everything that we need is right here in this Bible. Access it. Put it to your life. Have a wonderful life. Get out of here. Move on. Do what you want to do. You don't have to worry about your buddies. The guy can say, my man, every time I get out, I have a buddy to come by and bring me some drugs or something to do. I said, of course. My biggest problem was in ministry. I was concerned about my friends. How was they going to accept this? Couldn't do that. Do not be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. They're going to leave you. You don't walk the same way you walk. You don't talk the same way you talk. They're going to automatically, God is going to move them from out of your life. You just have to apply this to your life. Get serious about it. Went on from there. We had a good time after that. We had lunch, came back. My group went from 17 to 20. Let's just talk about it now. Everybody was saved. So you say, you've been knowing it, why are we not using it? The guy said, well, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Me too, buddy. What you gonna do about it? He said, I have come so that you can have life. He gave his son so you can have access to this. You got a role to play. I just can't pick you up and carry you along with it, man. You got to do something. You got some work to do here. How bad do you want it? The guy said, I was in a bad car accident. I ended up under 18-wheeler. I said, man, well, I don't know about you, Dad. If I survived that, I'd have been like David, dancing before the Lord, man. If I made it out of that, but only just a scratch on my head. And you a pastor. You knew better. It's the choices. It's the choices. The choices. The other guy told me, he said, God didn't put me in prison. I put myself here. Bingo. The choices. That's what it's all about. So he said, so what do we do since we all here? I said, man, this is what you do. I got up on my chair. Everybody had their Bible. I got up and I started walking around in circles within a group. They said, what are you doing? You're walking in circles. I said, no, I'm passing time. Because what you should be doing is why you're here is telling him, keep reading, brother. You like to cook? Keep cooking, brother. God gave you a gift. Just take that down to the food pantry and feed the homeless. You like reading? Who like reading? Everybody raise their hand. Sunday school teacher. Bible study. Do things. Do things. Make disciples while you're in here. Encourage one another. So the guy you sitting here next to me, if you see me falling off the bandwagon, I'm doing things that I shouldn't do, and I'm sinning, you're just as wrong because you're not correcting me on that and pulling me out of that, man. Hold each other accountable. The guy where did he go? I told him, I said, man, this is a beautiful thing here because we all sit around here, talk about the Bible, debate back and forth with each other. Nobody's getting angry. Nobody's getting upset. Nobody want to fight. God is rejoicing in heaven over this. Have fun. Got ready to go. The guys hollered at me, Kevin. Say, yeah. Keep going, man. Make sure you do this at the next prison. Said, I will.
It's funny, Kevin mentioned sitting there just having a conversation, going through scripture, not fighting. You know, Dick let me know ahead of time. He probably doesn't want me telling you this, that I'm going to tell it. That every experience he's ever had with Bill Glass in the prison ministry, there's never been anything happen in any facilities. And so I'm sitting there in the afternoon talking to my group, and a fight breaks out in the pod. I'm like, man, Dick, what is going on here? So, but listen, the guards were on it. My group just kind of looked up, and I said, well, those guys are having a bad day, and we went right back to it. Never any anxiety or fear or anything. Now, in the afternoon, we got back, and from lunch, we were all excited to get back in there. Well, some of the staff had gone to Morris and Kyle and told them they expressed interest in going into one of the pods as well. The trustees, there's plenty of guys. How many did y'all have as far as the inmates come out and speak to, do you think, guesstimate in the...
Probably a dozen in the morning and maybe about that.
So maybe a dozen in the morning, in the afternoon. But you had, what, like six or seven volunteers there?
Nine of us.
Almost one-to-one, which is good, a lot of one-on-one, but, you know, then you got guys, three guys in a pod of, you know, 50 or 60 inmates. So Kyle and Morris were able to go in the pods. Now, they were going to put Kyle in another one that already had like three or four guys. And so I grabbed one of the leaders and said, listen, we only have three in our pod. Can Kyle come with us? And I said, I know him, we're friends, we go to church. He's like, yeah, yeah. So Kyle comes in. I tell you what, I'm proud of this young man. I don't know. And he has a story. Some of y'all have heard it. And so I'm sitting there, and one of the problems I have when it's my first event, but when I get in front of a group, my wife tells me about it all the time, like, you talk too much. So that's a spiritual gift. I get, see, you talk too much. And so I'm up there, and I'm spitting it in. I'm preaching to them, you know what I mean, and just loving life, you know, and very engaged. But then I look over at Kyle, and he's sitting there, and so many guys are just talking, sharing their stories. He was able to connect with them in ways that I couldn't. And so they opened up and were probably more comfortable sharing with Kyle than they were with me. So I'm bringing Kyle up to share his experience.
To talk to people in the pod, because the first one I got to connect pretty well with this young know, he had a whole lot going on, but whenever I went to the big pod is where really a lot of things happened. And I was sitting at this table, and we were all sitting at tables, and nobody was really sitting there. It was like 50 dudes just all sitting in chairs staring forward, and I was like, well, I'm going to do something, man. So I just kind of walked up and started talking to people and said, hey, man, I've spent, since I was about 16 years old, I've spent been in and out of jails most of my life and everything, and I've been charged with over 8 federal crimes and 16 felonies, but I stand here before you today, a free man. Would you like to hear my story and the way God's worked through me? And these first guys, so I walked over to these guys, a bunch of tattoos, like the permanent grill in his mouth and everything, and they said, you know, yeah, man, they seemed to be surprised, but like my honesty, and they all sat down at this table. I was like, hey, man, I'm just kind of walking around. If you guys want to, I'm going to go sit at that table right over there. You guys are welcome to come over there and listen to what I have to say. You guys are welcome to just stay where you are. And then they all got up and went, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I got a full table. So I went down there and sat, and we started talking, and then the guy came in and did like this whole little Jesus rap and everything, and then after that, that's whenever they broke us into those big groups and stuff and said, like, so Mike took this corner, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just take this back corner over here. And next thing I know, I had like 20 dudes standing around, sitting around me, and I didn't really know what to do, and I was a little bit kind of like the night before, you know, I was a little disturbed whenever they were telling me that I had to go through this pamphlet, and they basically were telling me you have to, you know, go through there and save, and I was like, this is everything that we learned in Sunday school, you know? So I went and asked everybody, I handed the pamphlet out to them, and I said, see, the first 5 questions and everything, does anybody actually have an objection to any of these things? Or were you guys, have you all been to Sunday school and heard that Jesus is the way, right? And they went, well, yeah. And I said, okay, then why are you guys here? If you guys believe in God and everything, and you believe that living the godly way is the only way to be, why are you here? And why do we keep coming in and out of prison? And it's because we're not living for God. You know, we're living for free will. What did God give us? He created everything. He created everything in front of us. You know, the atoms. He created our soul. He created your mothers and fathers, everybody. But what did he not give himself control over? Your will. Alright? And your will is what's put you here. And your will and faithfulness of God will get you out of here. Okay? You can sit there and say, oh God, you know, I'm sorry for doing that, and then just go right back to do it. You know? But yeah, he may have forgiven you for that sin, but you're just going to sit there and watch. That's no kind of life to live. But if you sit there and you start living for the way God wants you to live, start giving back to your family. Okay, your homeboys and everything, all your dope boys and everything. I'm not going to lie. It's fun. I like riding around. I like having 40 pairs of shoes. Okay, I like having gold chains around my neck. I like having a wallet that can't bend because I have so much money in it. But I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all had that feeling. All right? I loved it. But I tell you what, I never felt full. Okay? I don't like sitting in traffic every day. I don't like, you know, doing all that. I would love to sit around and just make $800 a day smoking blunts, playing video games. But that's not what, it's not fulfilling. You got to start living that way, you know, and get out of this mindset. And everybody's heard it. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil, you know. And why is that important? Because it is not me and all my homeboys walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's me. It's me and the Lord. And the Lord protects you. And you're not walking through death. You're walking through the shadow. You know? It's not real. Evil's all around you. You may not be able to see the light. Alright? That's all that surrounds you. But you have to walk. You're not running. Alright? If you're running, you're getting that fast money and running and sin is going to get you right back here. But if you do a slow walk the godly way through that valley of the shadow of death, he will protect you. He will provide. You may not have, you know, stacks of money in the bank, but you're going to have a full belly. You're going to have a roof over your head, and you're going to have a family that loves you. All All right? And that's where it's going to be, and that's where you're going to be finding salvation. All right? You're going to... I can't give you salvation. Only Jesus Christ can give you salvation, and all of you know that. But you got to get in your Bible and know Christ. You got to get in there and understand what He did for us and His whole message. And then, so whenever somebody comes up to you and says, "Oh, well, we're not there tonight. Why do you believe in that crazy God in the sky?" You'll know exactly why, and you won't have a doubt in your mind as to why you believe the way that you do. And whenever you're filled with that, and that's whenever you will fully be able to turn your spirit over to God, you know, because you can say it. I used to say it all the time. I always felt, "Oh, I'm perfectly fine. Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, believe God died. You know, Jesus died on the cross for me. I can do whatever now." You know, but I never felt fulfilled because I said I believed in God, but I didn't have God in my heart. And it's until you get God in your heart and that you learn and you study the scripture is whenever you'll find it. And then, you know, if you have questions about it, let God speak to you and tell you what the words mean. I sat there and devoted myself reading chapters to chapters every night. God didn't let me out of jail because I said, "Oh God, I'm really sorry that I did that one night," and then just sat around and then just kept trying to do drugs in jail. No, I stopped doing that stuff and I devoted myself to doing it. And He saw my perseverance and that I didn't care about what was around me. And He saw that my heart was true. And He knows that your heart is true, but it's, you know, it's not just a knowing in your heart. It's also, you know, you gotta live that way. And if you're not living that way, then are you really Christian? You know, if you're judging other people, are you enforcing your will upon other people? Are you really being a true Christian, or are you just saying you're a Christian to put yourself on a high horse? And so, just get in there and you'll feel the conviction within inside you and study your Bible and seek fellowship.
Wow, that's excellent.
Okay. All right, so, Dick Webb.
Listen, I just want to say, I told Mike yesterday, I didn't know that I really wanted to even stand up and talk, but to listen to these guys and to see the immense amount of growth that has occurred in the last 48 hours in their lives and how they have changed. This is discipleship at its very core. This is how we go from being the pew sitters to the actual people on the field, in the game, living life at its most incredible way. To see the excitement and the giddiness and the childlike just incredibleness that I saw in not only these three, but Morris and Carlos, who just walked out of here, you know, and Rob Price, 70-year-old man, is excited about what God is doing in their lives. He's excited about him using them. That they still have value, that they can accomplish something for God, that they can actually be of use to the Creator. That is incredible. That is way beyond anything I've ever accomplished in my life. And this weekend, I got to watch that. I got to see these guys, the nervous excitement on their faces and their voice Friday night as we sat around after we went back to the hotel, and you could just hear it in their voices, how they were just kind of amping up and it was just kind of coming up, and they were beginning to realize tomorrow morning I'm going to prison. Tomorrow morning something different is going to happen, something I've never experienced is going to happen, and more importantly, I'm going to have to face a bunch of people, and I'm going to have to actually share God's word with them, and what am I going to tell them? What do I have that I can tell them that would be of use to them? You guys, Kyle, you and Morris, that wasn't an accident. I spent the whole lunch hour getting you guys in the pods.
Thank you, sir.
Because I wanted you to experience what you came there for. I was not happy that we were going into that trustee unit. And when I saw it, I was really disappointed in how that worked out. Because that's not what you went there for. And you didn't get to see what was happening in the prison. You were getting to see something false. I was disappointed that the guards brought these incredible meals. I mean, we had breakfast. We've never had breakfast in there. And they bring this big spread for breakfast. And it's great. I mean, it's wonderful food. I don't know what's going on there, but the guards are fully and completely behind what is happening through the Bill Glass Ministry and these other things. They want these people saved. It was incredible to see this. We never have seen this in the Texas prisons. I've been to several of them, and never have I seen the kind of support and equipping that these guards did for us before we ever got inside. That was incredible. And lunch, oh my gosh. I can't wait till they go to a real prison. Oh my God. I got to know some guys this weekend that just blew me away. Kevin, before you get a chance, you are married to one of the most wonderful women in the world. Absolute gorgeous woman.
Thank you, Dick.
And anything you say after that is wrong.
How much you pay?
We had such a good time. We had such a good time. And if it was only just that, it'd be great. But I saw some guys around this weekend, and it's just been incredible. I want to encourage and ask all of you, men and women. There were more women there than there were men, which really shocked me. But I want to encourage you to move a little bit out of your comfort zone and ask God if maybe you can be a part of this too. There was everybody there from their early 20s to their 70s and 80s. It's all you got to do is have Jesus Christ right here. If you got that, you're equipped. That's really all it takes. Thank you guys for going. Thank you for sharing. And this has been awesome.
We're way behind, but that's awesome.
These guys can do this every week. You can go to the Denton County Jail and do this. Yeah, let's talk afterwards.
So why don't we have the band go ahead and come back on back up. I only have about 30 more minutes of scripture. Are we good? Anybody hungry?
Pretty sure you got a good 35 minutes.
Bring lunch in, right?
Okay.
You go over 35 minutes from pushing.
While the band's coming back up here, I do want to read part of Psalm 96. Actually, Friday night, we had a pastor, a gentleman who received Christ in prison in the 80s and has been a pastor for 30 years. And he gave us this scripture, and I want to just read it real quick. Psalm 96, verse 2, it says, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name." Listen to this, church. "Tell of His salvation day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods," and that's what we make and worship as gods, apart from the one true God. "For all the gods," lowercase g, "are of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." Now, when you're abiding in God's will, there is no fear. The spirit of fear is gone, but the spirit of life reigns. And that's the spirit that we felt when we went into the prison this weekend. So let's everybody stand up and just go through this last song. Just sing and just praise God.
You're the one who walked on water and called.